First to the candidates for president, who are causing one another plenty of grief, and Ken Rudin, who's watching it all unfold. And Ken, you're with us from Clarksville, Missouri today.
Why not, right?
Where is that in Missouri, by the way?
I have no idea. It's about it's about 2 hours from St. Louis, somewhere.
All right. Somewhere. Hey, you know, I want to talk about Missouri's surprisingly competitive Senate race in a minute, but I think we need to begin off the top here with what the campaigns are talking about this morning, and that's Hillary Clinton's illness and the fact that it appears that she didn't really want to disclose it until that video became, you know, made it unmistakable that she was ill.
I think the issue is, I think yesterday for a while this story was all about health. And now the more I think about it, the more people are thinking about it, the more it is about Clinton's campaign, about transparency, which they are not known for. And this is just, you know, as with everything, it almost feels like it's vintage Hillary Clinton. Now, look, she had pneumonia, and that's terrible. She has pneumonia, and she'll be better, and all that stuff. But when they don't give out the answers, when you see videos of her being unsteady, having to be helped into a car, that they said, oh, she's only overheated. They said that the reporters can't follow her. And then you ask, well, what's going on here? I mean, you know, we blast Donald Trump for his failure to tell us anything about anything, his health, his taxes, as you know, his worth and all those things. And you know, Hillary Clinton just should know that this is, you know, this is the kind of, not the kind of story you want leading the newspaper headlines on a Monday morning.
I was reading a tweet from Mike Murphy, who what did he run the McCain campaign and
He also ran the Bush campaign and the Jeb Bush campaign in 2016. He'd rather not let you know that, but I know Mike Murphy's a great guy, but he's a partisan, that's for sure,
and knowledgeable. But here's what he tweeted a few minutes ago: two of the oldest people running for president clearly owe the country a full McCain-style disclosure of their medical records. Do you agree with that?
I do. I mean, the fact is that Donald Trump, if he's elected, he's 70 years old, would be the oldest president ever elected for the first time. If Hillary Clinton was elected, she'd be the second oldest after Ronald Reagan. And given the fact that, you know, there are just questions about health. I mean, the Republicans have been playing this game about Hillary Clinton for the longest time. Rudy Giuliani, I think his goal in life is to tell everybody that Hillary Clinton is not doing well, feeling well. And he said, go on the Internet to find out what's going on.
Jeez.
Anybody who's telling people to go on the Internet to find information is, you know, is kind of beyond. But then, of course, there was this coughing fit that Hillary Clinton had on Labor Day that, of course, all the Republicans said, see, there's something wrong. And it goes back to the 2012 when she fell and she had a concussion, and so they've been playing the health card against Hillary Clinton for the longest time. So I think Mike Murphy does make a good point. I mean, especially for Donald Trump to go on all the radio TV shows this morning, says, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the real truth is. When, you know, all he does is gives us a piece of paper from his doctor who wrote this diagnosis in 3 minutes while Donald Trump's, you know, limousine was waiting outside the doctor's office. It's just so surreal.
You know, Politico, I think, had this right when it talked about that part of the reason that Clinton probably hasn't wanted to disclose this is because Trump has been pretty effective in raising or maybe I should say not effective, but just dogged in raising questions about her stamina. And here's how Politico put it. Presidential politics is by design a brutal vetting process, and the physical capacity of anyone seeking the office is the ultimate gateway question. But in Trump's hands, it has become positively gladiatorial, thanks to his chest-beating emphasis on his own physical prowess, size, and stamina. Some of that had to have influenced the way the Clinton campaign handled this.
Yes and no. I think you're giving the Hillary Clinton campaign too much credit here because I mean, I don't want to jump on the bash Hillary bandwagon because, one, you know, it's so easy to do, and two, it almost makes Donald Trump look saintly in comparison, and that's not what I want to do. But Hillary Clinton does have a history of not giving any more information than she needs. She has to, and I guess the feeling was, well, you know, she doesn't have to give anything. And I mean, and it was interesting, given that speech she just gave the other day about deplorable, the basket of deplorables on the Trump campaign. That was when she allowed journalists to be at this fundraiser, which is very unusual for her. So in other words, she spent most of her campaign keeping the press at bay, no press conference since December 5th, suspicion of the press, maybe rightly so. And so when she just doesn't come, was not forthcoming in this latest thing, and then we learn, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having pneumonia. People have pneumonia, and you just say it. But you're absolutely right. I think they fear that it feeds into Donald Trump's argument about her health, and they kept it quiet. Yeah. But that was a mistake.
Ken, I'm going to get to the deplorables thing in a second, but I can't let this go without saying, I think when Trump raises this question about whether Hillary Clinton has the stamina, quote unquote, that's the word that he and his surrogates use quite often. Well, as a woman and a voter, I hear sexist language in that. I think what he's really saying is, can a woman, any woman, withstand the pressure of the office of president?
That's a fair question. It's a good question because I don't have the answer to it. I mean, I know that women hear these signals more than men do, and that's deplorable and regrettable, but it's true. So I may not be the expert on what is a sexist signal, and I know they're pointing out her age and things like that.
Well, he also says she doesn't look presidential.
Well,
he just said that last week.
You know something? When he said that last week, I posted a picture of him mocking that New York Times disabled reporter. I said, oh, this looks presidential? I mean, so I wonder if that is all part of the, well, she's a woman, so she can't look presidential, and if she's a woman, she doesn't have the stamina.
Yeah.
It's a fair argument. I don't know if I'm ready to make it, but I understand it.
651-227-6000 to join our conversation with the political junkie, 800-242-2828. Questions about the campaigns and the candidates and some of the issues, and you can also tweet it in. At Kerry NPR. Okay,
and speaking of deplorable,
yeah, go ahead.
Ken Rudin on the show this week.
Exactly. So let's hear all of what Hillary Clinton said at this. I think it was a fundraiser about Donald Trump's voters. Here it is.
You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. But that other basket of people are people who feel the government has let them down, the economy has let them down, nobody cares about them, nobody worries about what happens to their lives and their futures. And they're just desperate for change.
So she's concerned about the half in the basket who are desperate for change. The other half, forget about them. They're deplorable.
Well, two things. First, I mean, like with everybody else, what immediately came to mind was Mitt Romney's 47% from 2012. You know, all these groups that are dependent upon government and they're victims. And basically, it sounded like he wrote off half the people in America. And then when President Obama talked about those people in America who cling to their guns
and
religion.
You know, Ken, we have that sound because I wanted to ask you for kind of a comparison. So let's listen to what President Obama said. This was in 2008.
Right.
Let's listen.
So it's not surprising then that they get bitter and they cling to guns or religion or antipathy towards people who aren't like them, right? A way to explain their frustrations.
Okay, he's saying that voters cling to their religion or to guns, that they're bitter, and that explains their frustrations. You were saying, Ken.
And there was a person by the name of Hillary Clinton who said that is so elitist.
She did
Barack
say
Obama
that.
To say that.
Exactly.
So it does remind me of the Romney comment and the Obama comment, but let's go back because when we think of what everybody was reacting to was the first half. The first had the basket of deplorables, not the second half that the people who are being, you know, it's a rigged system, not doing well with the government, need a handout, need help, and need assistance. But everybody focused on the first part. I think Hillary Clinton, by saying half, that was probably the biggest mistake of all, because, look, there is a deplorable sound coming out of one of the campaigns talking about racism and Islamophobia and reactions about women and minorities and Muslims and Mexicans. So that is deplorable. But I think The fact that now the attention is on Hillary Clinton and not on Donald Trump's campaign for saying the things that many of his supporters do, I don't know about half, but a sizable number do. All you have to do is go on Twitter and look at the ugliness and the anger that's out there and the deplorable comments. But so, when she says half, she basically put a foot in the mouth.
Wait a minute. To be clear here, you're saying when she makes a remark like that, she distracts from the true absurdity and discriminatory tone of a lot of what he says.
Well, that's how I feel. I mean, yes. Okay. I mean, I think the fact that she said it was a mistake, I think the fact that she said half is probably an exaggeration. And she said it was an exaggeration, and I apologize for that. But what she says about Trump, a number of Trump supporters, starting from his campaign chairman on down, some of the things they say, I think, are deplorable.
Okay, calls for you, Ken, from Mary. From Mary in St. Paul. Hey, Mary, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
You know, I really think that someone should interject something here. My husband's a physician, and he definitely thought right away when he heard that she was able to be there on Sunday after the doctors later announced that she had been told, diagnosed on Friday with pneumonia. He said, well, she's got what people commonly call walking pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people can go around with that for ages, continuing to cough. I happen to personally in my family had an uncle who did that for a month, unfortunately, before they finally got into a hospital, and it was too late. He died. But in her case, this is not something where it is to go into that category, I think, of just calling it. Here's another instance of her untrustworthiness.
Okay.
The emphasis that has been placed on her, when really they should be, and I don't know why the media is not, digging as to why he will not come out with those tax returns.
Well, yeah, I mean, that gets, to be fair, Ken and Mary,
gets
mentioned a lot.
Mary, yeah. Completely. The fact is, we're all jumping on, including myself, we're jumping on the Hillary Clinton campaign for not being forthcoming. I mean, the first line of when she fell or wasn't feeling well, they said, well, she was overheated. Why not say she's diagnosed with pneumonia? But anyway, they said overheated, and everybody said, aha, she's not overheated, she has pneumonia, when Mary's exactly right. There is no medical records coming from Donald Trump. There are no tax records from Donald Trump. So we are spending, and this is the problem with the Hillary campaign, we're spending all this day, we, not this show, but the media and the front page of every newspaper are focusing on Hillary Clinton's less than honest responses when we're not getting anything, any openness and honesty from the Trump campaign. So the fact that And that's what's driving the Hillary Clinton campaign nuts, the fact that we're talking about her when we should be talking about him. But I think once you say a certain statement, you know, the media will love to jump on it, just like with Romney's, you know, 47%.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, Obama's guns and religion.
Ken, until all this stuff happened at the end of the week, there was a lot of conversation about this next newsmaker mystery sound that I'm going to ask you about. Who is this and what he's talking about?
I think he was thrown off by the question. He didn't understand that it was about geography or Syria or foreign policy. He even said, and I have no reason to disbelieve him, that he thought it was an acronym. But not to say it isn't embarrassing.
Who is that and who's he talking about?
Well, I know who he's talking about. He's talking about the mayor of Aleppo, Gary Johnson, who's now running for the mayor of Aleppo. I mean, I don't know who said it, but I mean, this is Gary Johnson on MSNBC. First of all, everybody's going ballistic on Gary Johnson making a mistake and say, well, as if this is going to really hurt his chances. It might hurt his chances about getting in the debate because he needs 15%,
right,
and he's still stuck at 9%. But you know, if you listen to the MSNBC commander-in-chief forum last week about the misstatements made on foreign policy and the love and the respect he has for Vladimir Putin, and that Putin is much more of a leader than President Obama, and that the people who gave me these overviews of the defense policy really don't like, I can see by their body language that they don't like Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
that's just nuts.
I looked in the eyes of Vladimir Putin and saw his soul. I mean, you know, I think it's with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, I remember George W. Bush saying that
when
somebody threw a shoe at him, he said, I could see the inside of his soul. But I think that was a different thing completely.
It was.
Yeah,
Well, quickly here, you're in Missouri. They've got a surprisingly competitive U.S. Senate race with a longtime incumbent, don't they?
Well, not a long-time incumbent. I think Roy Blunt was only elected 6 years ago. I think he was the House Majority Whip. And
I was including his House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In the Congress, a long, long time. Absolutely. And, yeah, there are a lot of races like that closer than should be. John McCain. Well, actually, there are some new polls that show Republicans running a right way. But there are and look, you know, Donald Trump is an albatross for many Republicans around the country. I don't know about Missouri because this is a very culturally conservative state where I am now. The drive to this farm today was all Trump. There was some not very complimentary signs about Hillary Clinton on their way over, but it's definitely Trump country. And of course, it's surrounded by St. Louis and Missouri, which is more Democratic. It's close. I think the Republicans still are in clear jeopardy of losing the Senate. Right now, if they lose four, they lose the Senate, assuming Hillary Clinton wins.
Right.
They're probably going to lose Illinois and Wisconsin. And if they lose New Hampshire, which they could, if they lose Pennsylvania, which they could, you have Chuck Schumer as majority leader. So a lot of Republicans are running scared. But at the same time, a lot of Republicans who are refusing to back Donald Trump are spending a lot of money on making sure that Congress stays Republican.
Yeah, they want those ticket splitters, right?
They absolutely do. Yeah, even if they give up on the White House, they have to make sure that Hillary Clinton doesn't have a blank state.
Can be a dicey proposition. Yeah.
Right.
Ken, we'll pick it up next week. Thanks much.
Thank you, Kerry.